I heard the beautiful parking lot and beauty on the inside and just a great spirit in the church. I don't know where your church is, but if you live in this area and this isn't your church, you're missing out on a blessing. Amen. And this is where I'd want to be. So good to be in church tonight, and I want to be careful about my time because I want to make sure we get to the help we got last night, Brother Knox. So what I want you to do, go to 2 Samuel chapter 16, and just going to leave out some of the things that could be said in the preliminary comments, and just go to the Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 16. And as you're turning there, there was a book given to Lee Robertson apparently many years ago, and I know that perhaps that name is something that some might not remember. Lee Robertson was a man God used in Chattanooga, Tennessee to build a large church, Highland Park Baptist Church, touched the lives of many people. They had a college, and that college trained many men, and they went out into the ministry. Many men went to the mission field. So this church had a large effect and a large influence on many people. Lee Robertson, he had a quote that he often used, that everything rises and falls on leadership. And he was impeccable when it came to his character until he passed away from this earth. He had a great testimony of his personal character and how that he maintained his integrity. I say amen tonight. I think that men, listen, we ought to have integrity as men of God tonight and not just ability and polish. I think there's a lot of people who have polish and ability and no integrity. I think it'd be better to have integrity than it would be to have polish. Amen. I think it'd be much better to have that. And he had that. He picked up this book by McCall Barber, which said, "When Did You Die?" And Lee Robertson, born apparently fairly poor, saved at the age of 14 by his Sunday school teacher, Daisy Hawk. She led him to Christ. And probably one of the reasons he had such a heart for Sunday school, had such a heart for reaching children and children's ministries and the bus ministry. But the book that he used to change his life that he read was "When Did You Die?" When did you die? And you know, the Bible is full of verses about you and I dying. And I was going to read many of them tonight. I don't think I'm going to take the time, but Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Romans 6:6, "Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." I think if you were to look in the Bible and you were to go through and turn in the New Testament, you would find that the Bible says that you and I, are supposed to have a position of being dead, particularly to the flesh and to the world. But when I look in my own congregation and when I look at my life, and let me say tonight, I'm not preaching about something that I have attained, but I am preaching about something that I believe is in the Bible. And I believe the Bible teaches that I'm supposed to have a flesh and a body that's crucified. I am supposed to live a crucified life, and then Christ is supposed to live in me. Amen. But what I find more often than not is just the opposite. That we're content with Christ being crucified on the cross, but we certainly don't want any part of that same crucifixion in our life. The Bible says that in the last days that men would be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Which tells me one thing, that the Christian church is very alive. And the reason I say that is because we are very easily offended. You can't offend a dead man. You can't offend a dead preacher. You can't offend a dead pianist. You can't offend a dead Sunday school teacher or a dead teenager. If somebody's dead, there's no offense to be taken. And what is glaringly obvious is that our churches today, including preachers like myself, are so alive still that we are offended at every opportunity. And then we pack up our bag and we leave our church and go find another church. until we get offended there. We get offended in our marriage and we go find another spouse until we get offended there. And all I'm saying is that that's what's so true for many of us, and I'm including myself, is that I am still so alive, that this flesh is so alive, my reputation is so alive, my personal interest, my self-man is still so alive, but the Bible teaches that that man ought to be crucified with Christ.
Amen.
And I think if we live that crucified life, I think we'd be a happier people.
Amen.
I do. I think we'd have a lot more joy in our life if we had a crucified self and a Christ-filled life. Amen. I think we'd get more accomplished. I think we'd be able to see more results. Because we being dead opens the door for Christ to be our life. And then He's the one that gets the job done instead of this old self-life, this old selfish man that really doesn't know what he's doing in the first place. We heard about it last night. We heard about a selfish man that had a conversation with an ass. Not accomplishing much, are you, Balaam? No, not living that self-life. Well, David is an example. And there's two others we may look at if we have the opportunity tonight, but the Bible says that when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. Thou man of Belial, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Abishai had a solution to the problem, didn't he? Only problem with Abishai, he was living on the wrong side of Romans chapter 12 that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That we're not to recompense evil for evil. That we're to trust God to take care of those things for us. But Abishai said, no, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go over, if you'll just let me, and I'm just going to take off his head. I'm going to finish the problem. Now, I'd like to say this. You know, that kind of feels good to have that kind of friend. I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing. I'm not saying that it's a helpful thing if you want to live a crucified life to have a friend that goes around taking the heads off of your enemies. But I guarantee you, there's some pastors that would do well to have a deacon in their church say, I tell you what, preacher, just let me go take off his head. We'll finish the problem right now. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. In fact, there's part of me, I told you, I'm not ashamed of this message. There's part of me that says, hey, David, let me join in. I'll just go ahead and get my swipe in while we're taking care of this business. Because some people, oh my goodness, some people provoke, and it's hard to keep that old man crucified. Years ago, I still regret not going up to my brother's church there in Virginia and taking off the head of an individual that was nothing more than one big box of trouble. And I thought I could probably do it. In fact, he didn't know me. I was just going to go up there with a couple other men that I knew in the military, threaten him with his life and tell him if he didn't get out of town, we're going to come back and just beat the devil out of him. Now, I wish I'd have done that. You say, why? Well, I think he would have left. But he stayed and caused problems, and maybe that's what God wanted. Maybe God's allowing Shimei to say these things. And sometimes we want to take matters into our own hands. Shimei is accusing David and cursing David.
And Shimei is full of all sorts of false accusations. Look, you know, he accused David of being a bloody man. That's exactly opposite of what, you know what the Bible says David was? The Bible says that David was a sweet psalmist of Israel. That's what the Bible says about him. That he was a man after God's own heart. And Shimei is throwing all these false accusations. And listen, he is beside himself. Look what the Bible goes on to say about him, lest I run too far ahead. It says in verse 13, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust." I mean, Shimei has gotten his opportunity. David is now on the way out of Jerusalem and he has got his opportunity, and he comes out with all sorts of false accusation and he's throwing rocks. I mean, this guy is angry. He's picking up rocks and he's throwing them at David. And he's so angry. Look, when he runs out of rocks, he starts throwing dust. You're not going to hurt anybody throwing dust at him. Shimei doesn't care. Shimei is so filled with bitterness that he is kept in for a long time. David has been ruling for a while. And now the opportunity presents itself. Absalom rises up in rebellion, and now Shimei gets his opportunity. And boy, I'd say this to all of us tonight. Listen, bitterness is something that if you don't get rid of, it will destroy your life. Amen. David had been ruling for a long time. Shimei had kept his mouth silent, but inside he is filled with hatred toward David. He is filled with malicious accusation toward David. And when he finally gets his opportunity, he throws rocks and he throws dust and he throws cursing at David. Come on, how many men in here tonight, it would bother you if somebody threw rocks at you? Would that bother you? You know, we say little things like sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I mean, Shimei is doing his best to provoke David. Come on, somebody threw rocks and threw dust at you and threw accusations at you and said all kind of ugly things at you. I mean, that's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to live a crucified life at that point, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to preach about it, but it's real hard to do. Somebody came up and just called you stupid. How would you respond to that? Somebody just said, "You're just about as dumb as a box of rocks." You going to respond well to that? Somebody starts throwing things at you. I couldn't believe it. I remember pastoring a family in Alabama. And they literally threw stuff at each other. He came to me and he said, "Preacher, she's throwing things." I said, "What do you mean she's throwing things?" He said, "She's literally throwing things. She's throwing plates and she's throwing stuff in the kitchen and busting glass and knocking. I mean, there's all kind of things going on inside the house." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm throwing stuff back." That's really helping your house, isn't it? I mean, they're mad at each other and their anger is up, and so they're throwing stuff and they're busting plates and busting glass, busting walls, and then they finally make up and say, "Now look, we've got to fix this big mess." Listen, when you've got bitterness in your life, you're not ever going to build anything. You're not ever going to help anybody. You're not ever going to minister anybody. All you're going to do is destroy things and tear things up. The best thing you can do is to get that bitterness out of your life. God put David on the throne regardless of what Shimei had thought about it. Wasn't any of his business. Abishai, he wants to take off his head. So what does David do? Well, David, the Bible says in verse 10, "The king said, 'What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?' So let him curse. Because the Lord has said unto him, 'Curse David.' Who shall then say, 'Wherefore hast thou done so?' And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, 'Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him.'" You know what David did? He took the cursing. He just took it. Put a little mark right there and go, if you would, to Ecclesiastes, just a moment. Ecclesiastes. Look at verse chapter 7, Ecclesiastes 7. This will be something that will help you. I'm preaching on, I'm going to try to really press it now. I'm preaching on, don't take it personally. And the way y'all are looking at me right now, you've already taken it personally. I didn't say you were dumb as a box of rocks. I said, what if somebody said you were? That's all I said. All right? Don't take it personally. Don't be offended so easily, so quickly. Here's why. Look, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Boy, we get so upset when somebody's talking about us. Well, I can't believe what they said. I can't believe they said that about me. I'd say, Rob, give me that phone. Sit down at my computer and just start sending it off. Boy, I cannot believe she texted that about me. I'm just going to start texting that stuff back. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21. And take no heed unto all words that are spoken. Amen. There's some things you shouldn't listen to.
That's right.
Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. You know, I have never had to worry what somebody says about me on Facebook.
Amen.
You know why? I've never read Facebook. I am certain there's some people that say all kind of ugly things about me, but I have no idea. I am blissfully ignorant of everything negative said about me. Not ready. Don't know. I have no idea what the opinion is. Look what it says. Lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes, are you watching? Also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others.
Amen, amen.
Boy, I can't believe they'd say something like that about me. Well, you know what? You ever thought about what you said about other people? That's right. Because what you said about other people was the truth, right?
Yeah.
What you said about somebody else was deserved. They earned that comment, right? That's the way they feel about you, so quit taking it personal. You know, some people just run their mouth and say things just because there's nothing else that they had to do at time. You know, the more you talk, the more apt you are to say something you shouldn't say.
That's right.
So David just says, let him curse. You know, my wife was good about that. She taught me a great lesson early in our marriage. I love to pick at my wife. And we would do all kind of, I'd do all kind of things. I'd put ice down her shirt, you know, and if she didn't respond, I'd put bigger pieces of ice down her shirt. And if she didn't respond, you know, I didn't dump the whole ice bucket, but I would do anything. And she just wouldn't respond, and it was just no fun. Go by and pull her hair and say something, and she'd just keep doing the dishes and pull it a little harder, and she'd just keep doing it. I mean, finally, you know what you do after all that? You just quit. You know what helps some of you? If you quit paying attention to what somebody else is saying about you.
That's right. That's good, brother.
Do you know that one of the reasons they're probably still saying it? Because they know it bothers you?
Amen.
They know you're taking it personally. I just can't believe that because you fired off 7 or 8 emails and you fired off 4 or 5 Facebookings or whatever you would call that, postings. You've sent out your Twitters and all that good stuff and you've responded and they say, hit a nerve right there. Gonna try that one again. Come on, listen. How many of you parents know your children know how to push that button? Don't they know your button? You know, they'll quit mashing that button if they don't think it bothers you anymore. And some of you. David says, just let him curse. Man, he's cursing David. David, you're sorry. You're a bloody man. He's throwing rocks. He's throwing dust. And David just says, I'm just going to let him curse. I'm not going to take it personally. I'm not going to let that bother. Go back, if you would, to 2 Samuel 16. Look what else David does. David, he says, let him curse. But then David also, he puts in order a biblical principle. And the Bible says in verse number 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. You know what David's saying? David's saying, maybe God will see what this man is doing unjustly, and just maybe God will turn it about for good to me. Now, that's in the Bible as well. If you look at Proverbs just a moment, Proverbs 24:17. All right? Proverbs 24:17. The Bible says, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So in other words, as you are looking at your enemy and you're rejoicing that they've fallen, rejoicing that they've stumbled, Proverbs, Solomon is saying, if you don't do that, because if you do, God might see you doing it, and he might just withhold the wrath that he was given. I'd like to say it this way. Maybe if you just let somebody just go ahead and say those things and not take it personally, maybe God would reward you good for it, for just taking it. We're going to see that just a little bit later. I don't think that point took very well. Look at verse number 13, all right? How do I keep from taking it personally, preacher? Verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way. 2 Samuel 16, 13. And as David and his men went by the way. Verse 14. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. You know, one of the things that you can do instead of taking things personally is just continue on the way you're going and not let it impede or change your direction. In other words, continue doing what you're supposed to be doing. There are so many people that don't teach a Sunday school class because they took something personally. There are so many people that are no longer in the ministry because they took something personally. There are people that are divorced because they took something personally. What did you mean by that? I can't believe you said that. And it's just something that is held on to. Look, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just say, look, it doesn't matter what anybody else has to say. It doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is. I'm going to keep going this direction and doing what God told me to do with my life. Amen. Well, you must be the worst preacher in the world. Don't worry about that. You go ahead and do what God told you to do. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that can't raise children, it's your family. Look, don't worry about what somebody says. Don't take it personally. Go on, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Let somebody run you out of the place you ought to be. There are so many people that get offended. Boy, we're a little quiet right now, and it's all right. There are so many people that get offended over things that do not matter. I say things all the time I wish I had not said. Is there anybody like that besides me? I go back and I say, I wish I could put that one. You know, the only way you can keep from saying those things is just be quiet. And some of us, we have a hard time being quiet, don't we? Amen. But there are things that you say you don't mean anything by whatsoever. I said something to somebody and they came back to me and boy, they wrote me this long email and they apologized and they didn't mean to stir that up and I didn't mean to. And I just said, brother, I didn't even think anything about that at all. I don't know what you're talking about. But he took it really personally. You say something about somebody's clothing or their hair or their children? I mean, come on. How many of us have perfect children? Would you please stand up? You got perfect kids? Go ahead, stand on up. Help us look, just get a look at you. Maybe you can help us a little bit later after service. Amen. You know, somebody says something about your children. And you say, you come to the defense and you take it personally. What do you mean by that? You shouldn't be saying that. Look, continue doing what you're doing and don't let somebody turn you aside. Amen.
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 Good.
Somebody says something about the way you do some ministry. You know that guy right there, he's just a little bit on the bold side when it comes to that kind of thing. You know, I don't think he loves people. Let's not say that about everybody. Go ahead and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Don't puff up and take your ball and go home. Don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. Take the cursing because you know you've said other things you shouldn't say, and keep going the direction you're supposed to be going, and don't worry about all those things that don't matter. I'm going to tell you, we are not going to get to heaven and talk about, I cannot believe you. You remember what you said to me that Sunday when my dress was like your dress, and you said, where did I buy that from? And then you said back to me, you bought yours first, and then you said that's because you didn't have enough taste to buy it in the first. You remember saying that to me? Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to sit around in heaven and talk about, you remember what you said about my Sunday school lesson? You remember what you said about my dog? You remember what you said about the Gators or about the Tide? We are not going to sit around in heaven and talk about vain things. We're going to be talking about things of great importance like the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry He had on this earth through us. Amen.
Amen.
That's what's going to matter. It's not going to matter what somebody said about your pimply face. Your wrinkles. Are you taking it personally? How old you are? I took it personally. Hey, listen, AARP sent me a card in the mail when I turned 50. Made me mad. It's not going to matter. Do what God puts you on this earth to do. Don't let that change your direction. But the biggest reason, I think, what David did, if you'll see in verse 14 again, the Bible says, the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. I'm going to say something I really believe. When you take things personally, what that does is it limits your ability to help other people. And really, that is the aim of Satan anyway. He wants you to lose your ministry. He wants you to lose your family. He wants you to lose your influence. He wants you to get so focused on yourself that you can't see anybody else. And your offense that's taken so personally, it limits your ability to help. Look how many people he led to safety there in verse 14. The king and all the people that were with him. Who were those people? Go back, if you would, to chapter 15 and look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, and David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in that place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him. And all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Listen, here's what I'm going to say. First of all, David recognizes, if he takes this thing personally, and he says, all right, Abishai, go take off his head. One, he's losing precious time. And the people that have chosen to attach their life to his life are going to be put in jeopardy, particularly these servants. In verse number 18, Cherethites, Pelethites, Gittites, all these men that gathered unto him, those that were depressed, those that were in debt, those that were distressed, those men gathered themselves unto David while he was running from Saul, and they hooked their life to him. They hazarded their life. And you know what God did with those men? He turned them into mighty men. And they were men that were champions for David. They fought with Goliath's brothers. They did so many things for the Lord. And I want to say tonight, I heard it said last night, I do not want to take something personally and lead all the people that have attached their life to me, that have stood with me and have taught classes and gone on missions trips and gone into the ministry. I don't want to fail them because I took something the wrong way. I don't want to get bitter and get entangled and get involved in some rock-throwing contest and lose my ability to continue to point them the way that they should be. No preacher can point other young men in the right direction when he is filled with bitterness and he's filled with a life entangled with all these things that don't matter. You've got to stay free from those things so you can point those men to the right place. Amen. Timothy, listen, Timothy was blessed to have a Paul who told him, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Oh, there are people in our churches, all of us, that have sacrificed greatly in some measure. Perhaps it was monetarily. Perhaps it was getting up early in the morning and praying on a regular basis. Perhaps it was cleaning the buildings. Perhaps it was somebody that stood with you in every point of opposition You know what I say? We ought to keep going down the way we're supposed to go so we can lead those people the direction they should go. Amen.
Amen.
But secondly, look what else the Bible says in verse 16. Look who else he led to safety. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. That's his family. David's got a large family. He doesn't take it personally, so he's able to lead all these servants that have attached their life to him, but he's also able to lead his family. Now, I still have a long way to go again in this. I have a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old. But I am trying to convince them that the ministry is the best thing that God could have ever allowed me to take part in.
Amen.
I talked to them about the benefits of serving the Lord and the blessing of being able to be a pastor. And man, I try to tell my children, I try to keep in front of them all the benefits of being able to see God work and to see the benefits of the people that we have that are sold out that love Jesus. I try to keep that in front of them instead of telling them about how bad everything is.
Amen.
About how many mean people we have in the church. Well, I tell you what, them old wicked deacons. Old brother so-and-so, he's nothing but a power player. He's just self-centered. He's ruining our church. He brings a bad spirit into our church. You know, I don't ever tell my children anything about that. They'll be able to figure it out after a while. I mean, somebody comes in with a sour look on their face, smelling like a skunk. You don't have to have anybody tell you they got a problem with their attitude.
Right.
I don't tell my children that. I just have to tell them about, point out the people that are doing right. I want them to know, hey, listen. And then there are times when things don't go well, and I've had my children ask me tough questions. Dad, why did they leave? I'll tell you why they left. We've just tried to tell them, listen, they left because they didn't want to be here anymore.
Amen.
They wanted to go to another church. Yeah, well, why did they want to go to another church? I don't know. I don't think it was a good decision, but they didn't want to be here anymore. Instead of saying, well, I'll tell you what they did. They said that your mama was ugly, and I went over and I just whipped the fire out of their dad, and they're leaving the church. No. No, what David did is he saved his household. Are you listening to me? If you take things personally and you carry that home and you talk about the pastor and you talk about the church, you know what you're going to put yourself in a position to do? You're going to have a hard time leading your children to the place that they're supposed to be.
Amen.
I don't understand that. Come on, we don't have perfect pastors.
Right.
Come on, we don't have perfect pastors.
That's right.
So you don't have to point out their flaws. Listen, you don't have a perfect wife, sir. Amen? One guy said amen. Right? But you don't point... Listen, you may have a perfect... But you don't point out her flaws.
Right.
How foolish would that be for you to say, you know, babe, your teeth are crooked. Well, babe, you got a few more wrinkles now than you used to have. You're not helping yourself at all. All you're doing, you're moving from pasta to bologna is what you're doing. All right? Pointing out her flaw. And the same thing's true of our churches. Listen, do we have perfect churches? Of course not. Why do we want to point out the flaws in front of our... Listen, to so many other people, we're not in the business of doing that. What we ought to be doing is, we ought to be lifting up the things that we find that are good and that are right and that are true. The Bible says to think on these things. Amen. Don't take it personally. So you can lead your family to safety. But then one other man, look here, it says, verse number 19, then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. The Gittites are from Gath and Philistia. This is a man that comes from the wrong side of the track. He is really not somebody that's part of David's household. He's not part of those servants, but he's somebody that stepped in. He bought into what David and the children of Israel were selling. And when David gets ready to leave, he says, you know what I want to do? I want to go with you, David. And he says, you can turn aside. But he says, no, I'm going to stay. I want to stay right here with you, David. I want to go with you, David. And we have people like that in our churches. Listen, there are many people that were not raised in a Christian home. They weren't raised in a Bible-believing home. But aren't you glad they got saved and came and decided to worship where you have church? Amen? And if you're not careful, you won't be able to help them if you take everything personally, because they don't understand, why is my preacher so angry? Why are these people angry at one another? Why won't they shake hands with one another? I remember I said that one time in service, and I was chiding a little bit. You folks in the church that won't shake hands with other folks, that is not biblical. And I said that you ought to do that. The Bible says we're to love one another. And if you can't get over and shake somebody's hand, don't tell me you don't love them. And I went on like that for a little while. And one of the new family in our church came and they said, "Preacher, do we have people in our church that won't shake hands with each other?" And I said, "Yes." Well, if you've been in church all your life, is that a surprise to you? It shouldn't be that way, but that's true. And you know what happens if you take something personally and all of a sudden those folks that connect themselves to you that used to be out in the world, you're going to lose your ability to point them in the right direction. I'm telling you what they're going to do. They're going to go to the mega church and the emergent church, and we're going to scratch our head and wonder, why in the world did they leave? I'll tell you why they left. Because we took things personally.
Amen. Good.
Well, this is a real good message. Amen. Get offended. Take everything personally. They said something about me. They didn't let me do this. They didn't allow my child to participate here. Nobody called my name. How many times have I heard that in church before? Well, preacher, we don't need to call anybody's name because if we forget somebody, they'll get mad. Why would you take that personally? The Bible says, "Rejoice with them that rejoice." If somebody gets honored, we ought to be happy about it. No, they didn't call my name. I ain't happy about it at all. You left me off the list. Had a guy remind me every time I turn around in church, he hung all the doors in our church. Well, I hung all the doors. I think he wanted me to stand up in the pulpit and say, "Brother, God bless you. We appreciate you hanging all the doors here." I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it. Get so upset and take something personal, then we lose the ability to help the people that are doing something for the Lord, to help our children, and to help people that have come out of the world.
Good.
Because we took something personally that won't matter. Amen. Now, I said I was going to watch my time. Let's just skip. Nehemiah's a great picture. Let's just skip him. Let's just go to Mark chapter 15. Mark 15, and I'll close there. Jesus Christ is the epitome of the crucified life. Mark chapter 15, going to the cross of Calvary, all sorts of false accusations being cast at him, all kind of things being done to his body. People are seizing on the moment of opportunity, cursing him and doing all sorts of things, just like Shimei did David. And in Mark chapter 15, look what the Bible says in verse number 29. The Bible speaking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And they that passed by railed on Him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Look at verse 31. "Likewise also the chief priest mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others Himself. He cannot say." Look at verse 32. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with Him reviled Him. The thieves reviled Him. The Pharisees mocked Him." All the people, the Bible says, railed on Him. They are saying all sorts of evil things, all sorts of hurtful things, and all sorts of things that are untrue. And they're provoking the Lord. And yet this is His hour. This is His purpose. And He has to continue on the way that He was sent to go. And look what the Bible says in verse 30. Save, can you say that next word? Come on, save who? Thyself. Take it personally, Lord. Make it about You. Let it be about You. Let our words penetrate Your heart. And He wouldn't hear any of those things. He wouldn't listen to any of those things. He wouldn't accept any of those things. Look at verse 31. He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Listen, could He have come down off that cross, yes or no? Could He have done that? Could He have closed every mouth that was open against Him? Could He have done that? Could he have cast them off into outer darkness right then at that moment? Could he have done that? But he didn't take it personally. You know why? Because he knew that there were people that without him, there would be no salvation, that needed a Savior. Listen, without him enduring, I have no purchase for my sins. I have no payment for my sins. So you know what he did? He endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? For the joy set before him. Amen. He didn't take it personally.
Amen.
You know, David didn't take it personally. You know what happened to David? He was restored to his throne. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus didn't take it personally. You know what's going to happen to him one day? He's going to be put on the throne of David, and we're going to sing his praises. He's going to rule for eternity. Amen and amen. You know why? Because he didn't take it personally. I see myself when I think about taking things personally. A self-driven life is not going to be able to lead people to safety. It's not going to be able to point people to Jesus Christ. It's not going to be able to shape a family into the image of Christ, because that self-life, that self-manifested central idea of everything is about me, it just short-circuits all those opportunities. And I know in my heart, and I'm preaching tonight to this church, listen, ladies, don't take it personally. Don't take it personally. You good men, don't take it personally. You young people, don't take things so personally. Continue on the path God put you on. Don't get bitter. And you know what will happen in the end? You're going to find out it's a whole lot bigger blessing to minister to people. Even though other people have ugly things to say about you, there's more joy in ministering than there is in the vengeance you can get by throwing rocks back at them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God, help me to do that. Lord, I pray you'd please help me not to preach about something and not make it true in my own life. And Lord, it's so easy to hear something said or something done or to take things in a way, Lord, that's just so personal. Instead of looking at the other people that I'm trying to lead to safety or I'm trying to minister to or trying to shape their life. And I know the devil's shrewd, Lord. He operates in the moment. I pray you'd help the good people of Victory Baptist Church, Lord, not to allow the devil to take away their opportunity. Help us, Lord, not to be so thin-skinned, Lord. Help us to die to self, Lord. Help us to be crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Help us to allow you to live through us in that life that we now live, that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that as a people, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.